top college prospects come in to HBCUs. The NBA bubble, the ACC's best, and more. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Woolley Show. I'm your host, Mark Jerome. The other gentleman on your screen is none other than the ACC's best assistant coach, Jason Williford. We are now live streaming to the UVA Hoops Group. Thank you, DJYB, for providing the beats.
No doubt.
That's former Who, Yuri Barnes. Everyone, please take a minute to join our forums on Locker Room Access. Listen to our basketball podcast with former Who, Dougie Fresh Smith, the CEO and historian T.W. Huang, and me. Also, check out our football podcast with Tony Covington, the underdog, and Ahmad Ballhawk Hawkins. Also, we have coaches. We have the Coach's Show, Coach's Corner, with Coach Phony Bennett. It airs every Thursday. And check out the latest gear on Locker Room Access. Coach, congratulations.
On what, Mark?
In a poll taken by college basketball expert Jeff Goodman, you were recognized by your peers as the top assistant in the ACC.
You know, I'm a modest and humble guy. I was quite shocked and very appreciative that my peers thought of me that way. It meant a lot to be honest with you, because you never know how dudes think of you. You know, you try to do a good job. You try to be nice to most guys and and so you don't know if dudes think you're full of you know what, or they genuinely, you know, respect the work that you do. So I was quite shocked, to be honest.
What are the attributes that led to that recognition?
Man, I don't know. I guess hard worker, you know, success of the program. And listen, I can't take credit for where this program is. Richie McKay, Ron Sanchez, those guys helped build what we have, and Orlando and Brad have continued in that tradition. And it was quite humbling, shocking, but very appreciative all at the same time.
And while none of us are perfect, and we all, what are your areas that you think you need to improve as a coach?
Oh man, all of them, to be honest. I think you just have to keep honing your craft. You got to keep improving X and O wise. Obviously, knowledge of the game that way. Can always get better as a recruiter. You got to stay current. You got to know what the young guys are hip to, and you got to be on Instagram and Twitter and all of the social media stuff. And you got to know the new lingo of the day. Like you told me, no one says, what did you say last time we got together? They don't say that anymore.
You said keep it 100, which some people will say, but there was another phrase you used that I can't remember because it's so outdated. But again,
you got to stay here.
You know, a couple of months ago down in Virginia.
I screw you. You New Yorkers think everything starts with you guys. You got to stay hip. You got to stay up. I probably can improve on communication skills and, you know, just staying in touch more with folks in the business and probably getting out of my comfort zone is something that I think I know I need to improve on.
Goodman could not join us tonight, but he told me that 24 out of 25 coaches had you on their ballot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Means a lot. And Jeff and I, people don't know this, Jeff and I go way back. When I was at BU, Orlando and I were at BU, Jeff was just starting, and he was doing a piece on Dennis Wolf. And you know, his story started with Dennis Wolf, and now he's working for, God knows, he's worked for everybody. He's a good dude.
He's a real good dude. Yeah. So he said that you would be his selection as the top assistant as well. And he said it's not because you used to buy him pizza at T. Anthony's when you were an assistant at BU.
It goes back. It go We used to get him pizza all the time. I think he just came over just to get free lunch. That's what it was. So he wasn't making a whole lot of money then, and he wanted free lunch. So we helped him out.
He's doing all right now at the stadium.
He's doing well.
He did also say that you would be his pick for the next coach at Boston College.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, according to him, he said, your attributes are, you are a great X and O guy. You're a great recruiter. You're great with people. You have an extremely high moral compass. You're learning from one of the best in the business, and you're familiar with the Boston area.
Well, listen, that's flattering. But Jim's got a job. I'm not trying to politic for a job. I respect what he's done. And I respect Jeff for thinking of me in those regards. That's a big time compliment coming from Jeff.
Because he
knows a lot of coaches, he knows a lot of folk, and I try to just what you see is what you get from me, and I hope people respect that.
Yep, and Jeff's a good dude. And my question to you is, do you think if you got that job up there, he'd be trying to get you for a steak instead of a slice now?
Oh, no question.
If you got back up there?
If I were to be back in Boston, yeah, it'd be steak dinners and lobster tail on me.
Yeah, okay. Make sure that's the same deal when you come through New York. You know, your boy Dougie Fresh says that you're a little careful with how you spend your money.
I'm very tight. Is that what he said?
He didn't quite say it that way.
I have no choice. My wife handles that, so she keeps me in check. I've got a budget. I've got a debit card that she monthly puts money in, into my account, and I got to do right by that.
Moving on, did you catch any of the TBT games?
I saw a few. In the games I saw, those guys were getting after it, man. It was fun to see some basketball again. And those guys were out there competing hard. I did not see, but it sounds like Joe Johnson put on a show the other day. And I bet he could still play for somebody in the league right now if he got a chance.
So in the beginning, as expected, because guys haven't played for a long time, the play was a little sloppy.
That's natural.
Yeah, and then you could see it really pick up.
Yeah.
And as you said, guys were getting after it, and the skill level was really high. A lot of those guys play overseas now, or in the G League.
So I said to my son, we watched one game. I forget who. It may have been Boeheim's Army play somebody. And we watched, and I said, son, look at this. These are guys that are either playing the league, still trying to get in the league, but are overseas, having good careers. And look at the skill level. Like, these guys can play.
Yeah.
And that just tells you how hard it is to get to the NBA. And so I want him to see that, not just NBA. He dreams of playing in college and doing all of that. Well, it takes a tremendous amount of work. So there are a lot of really good basketball players. And it was fun sitting down and watching with him, just watching that.
Good preview for the NBA?
I think. We'll see. I'm still trying to figure out how they get past game 5 or 6. The first couple games are going to be fine. Everybody's been in the bubble. They've been quarantined. Let's see what happens when it's 5 or 6 down the road and somebody tests positive and you got to go. Then they leave. Now that team's screwed. I think that's the rule, right?
You're out. After you get the bubble. Yeah, sure. After you get corona. So – I've spent many summers in that Orlando area at Disney during AAU with my kids. And there's one thing that's undeniable is that it is hot down there.
Super hot.
It's almost unbearable.
And the gyms are freezing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it goes from one extreme to the next. You literally need a sweatsuit on sitting in the gym.
Well, when you walk in that gym from being out in that hot sun, in the beginning,
it's just refreshing.
It's extremely refreshing, right?
But it only takes a minute.
it's
then it's like, you can hang meat in the milk house.
The Milk House is the name of the one of the courts, one of the center facilities in the AAU, in the Disney AAU Center. So just to let people know. So as we talked about last week, there are seven former Hoos playing in the season that's being resumed in the NBA. We have one joining us now.
We got a knucklehead.
The People's Mayor, Justin Anderson. Welcome and thank you for taking the time.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here with my guys, especially Coach Willie. This is cool to be able to finally get on your show, man. I've been seeing it. I like the backdrop. This is my first time seeing the backdrop. You got something going, Slim. I love it.
Hey, that's all new. The wife got a couple of those framed for me, so I just got them out of the shop. So we're breaking them out tonight.
I love it. I love it.
Hey, Justin, congratulations on joining the Nets.
Absolutely.
That's great news. And we can definitely hang in New York at some point.
Thank you.
When you get back. Where are you now?
So I just got to Orlando yesterday, following protocol right now. I had a positive test, had a negative test, waiting on the next result. I have to get another one, and they could be knocking at my door anytime soon. I heard you guys talking about the weather out here in Orlando. I haven't even got to experience it because I've been in this hotel room. Very strict protocol, but it's all worth it just to make sure that entering the bubble, everything is clean and clear for everybody who's already in there and for myself as well. So I'm back in Orlando right now.
What was the process when you joined the Nets?
It was a long process. So I was in Atlanta training and was talking to Mark, and Mark was saying, you know what, the season is
going to be. Mark Bottlestein, your agent.
My agent, yep. And he said, the season is a go. As of now, we just need to try to figure out a team and a roster spot. And he said, there's a few teams interested, and he named a few. It was just a matter of who was going to select me. And Brooklyn kind of swept in late with Wilson Chandler recognizing that he wasn't going to go down and play. They came in late, and they weren't even a part of that list, actually. But they came in given the experience that I've had with the team already in the G League, with the Nets, the Long Island Nets, in my 10-day contract there. So they saw some potential in me helping them in their playoff push. And I remember getting that call. I woke up, and my agent, Mark, he said, hey, look, we found a team. Somebody wants us, and we're going to Brooklyn. So I was like, man, that was the best day. And after a lot of work that was going into it, a lot of, you know, training, lifting, running, swimming, all types of stuff that I was doing, that's when it all paid off. That's what it was all worth.
I read a few things about players complaining about the food.
He better not complain, Mark.
Well, you got to remember, guys now in the NBA are used to playing, getting food from high major D1 programs. Some of them have their own private chefs. Some of them are used to eating at high end restaurants. So my only thing with it is I just wish the NBA trained people so that they didn't sound like $1 million crybabies, right? Now they're going to seem like spoiled brats. And I don't think that's what the intention was.
This guy, hey, he comes from humble beginnings. So I know he's not one to complain.
Well, you know, it's great. Actually, I talked to Malcolm about this, Brogdon. I said, this is an opportunity really to cut people open and see what they're really made of. If I put something like that on my social media, my sister is immediately sending me a DM back saying, what are you talking about? That food looks straight. I got people around me that would never allow me to complain about food like that. I mean, we come from ramen noodles and McDonald's dollar menu. We're not going to trip out about good pasta, chicken wings, and flank steak. I mean, it's hard to trip about that type of stuff, man. I just want to play.
That's great news. The players at some point will likely get somewhat bored, right, and will be itching to get out. The NBA has arranged for some fishing excursions, some bowling trips locally, very close by, going to the Disney park when it's closed, after it's closed down to the public. But at the same time, it's somewhat complicated because Florida just was reported with the highest number of cases recorded with over 15,000 in one day a few days ago. What's your stance on going out of the bubble to go to one of those excursions?
I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for guys who look at this for play. I think this is a great opportunity for guys in the NBA who, you know, they really enjoy the lifestyle. They enjoy the experiences that come with being an NBA player. But for me in particular, for me personally, I have my own thing and my own goals that I want to do. Hopefully one day I can get back to Disney and enjoy it with my family after a championship or after some sort of celebration, birthdays, holidays, bowling. We can do that back at home. This is a business trip. This is an opportunity for me to continue to try to get a contract with the Nets. And then as far as keeping myself occupied, I packed my PlayStation. I'm enrolled in a class. I've done two classes already this summer at the university to finish my degree. I'm actually starting a new course today. So my next 4 weeks is going to be busy with school. And whatever free time that I have outside of FaceTime, PlayStation, I'll be diving into, you know, reading and writing some things for my classes. So, Jay, I know you'll be happy about me finishing, man. That's going to be a great day for everybody in the neighborhood.
Not only will I be a proud uncle, I recruited this dude, so I feel like we're family, but I know mom and dad will be super, super duper proud of you once you get that diploma. So best of luck. Keep up the good work. Tell the people how many more classes you need in order to finish up.
So it's crazy, right, Jay? Because coming in, we knew leaving early was an option, not only for myself, but for a lot of guys, but that was never in our cards. It was more about just like kind of staying steady, keep working. My freshman year not starting to having to grind it out to get to, you know, being able to play in the the Sweet 16, so as far as I made it. But as far as classes remaining, I have a full season left. After my third year, I have a full workload for a season. So I had 8 classes left, and I'll have 4 classes done by the end of this quarantine. So 4 more remain, and there'll be electives, and I believe I'll be able to take them online. This quarantine is actually great because UVA's requirements for graduating is actually really strict. A lot of classes have to be taken on campus for your major, but because of this quarantine, they've actually opened up classes to be able to take them online. So this has been perfect for me.
So after you finish this one, you'll have a semester. You'll have 1 semester left technically to finish 4 classes.
Exactly, and those can be online. Those are just electives. I try to knock out the hard classes first, and then I'll do the electives last.
That's big time. Proud of you, boy. Hey, tell us, what's it been like reuniting with Joey Buckets? Have you guys had a chance to talk and chop it up? And how's he doing? And what's that been like?
I get to talk to all of my guys that I got to play with. But this situation that we're in right now is obviously unique because we're on the same team again. You know, he's got a flow now. He's got his hair flow back. And he's loving life. You know, it was public that he experienced some stuff early on, and he's actually very happy that he went through what he went through sooner rather than later. So he's able to thrive. He's been feeling good. He's the one that's kind of been keeping me on the loop and keeping me updated on, hey, look, like today in practice we just played, you know, how's your body feeling? This is kind of some of the stuff that we're talking about doing. So it's really good to be able to have some sort of intel, if you will, to keep me in the loop and to keep me prepared. So when I hit the bubble, I can kind of hit the ground running with a little bit of an advantage. Rather than feeling like I'm always playing catch up. But as far as Joey, you know Joey, man, thankful, always appreciative of everything. It's just going to work his butt off. He's looking at this as an opportunity to continue to try to help Brooklyn get to the playoffs and push through the playoffs. And, you know, with the lack of guys on our roster, with the lack of depth, you know, he steps up into that leadership role. And this is nothing that we're not used to seeing at Virginia. I mean, he's carried that team far in his time there at Virginia. I don't doubt he'll be able to help carry us into this playoff series.
Just how many games are you guys out of qualifying for the playoffs? Do you know?
I think we're right there. I think we're right there at the 8th spot right now. If I'm right about that. But what's really important right now is, like I said, because of lack of depth and roster, we have to be able to pick up chemistry faster than most teams and be able to make some noise with these next 8 games. You get 8 games to either help or hurt your seeding. And what we don't want to do is hurt the seeding, because I don't want to go back to Atlanta, and I'm sure those guys don't want to go back to their designated areas. So right now we're just going to take it one game at a time, I guess, with these scrimmages, keep trying to build our team camaraderie and you know, try to make a push for this playoffs.
Hey, I know Mark's got something for you, but I just wanted to tell you this. Watching you and Malcolm, I know we're not talking about, we're kind of moving on to hoops, but extremely proud of what you and Malcolm stood for as you guys were in Atlanta during this quarantine and fighting for social justice and police brutality. So I respect the platforms that you guys have, and It meant a whole lot to see you guys out there and active and keep up that good fight. You made me proud. Something rubbed off on you here at UVA.
Nah, I appreciate it, man. That was an awesome experience. It was unique because, you know, a lot of people wanted me to say something because of my platform and my celebrity. But the coolest thing for me was to just be able to stand there and have Malcolm's back. You know, I told him before the walk even started, I said, regardless of what happened, because, Jay, I was a little worried about what was going to go down, to be honest. I mean, all you see is the history of what happens during protests, from, you know, people being hosed and dogs being let off and people being, you know, forcefully punished for protesting and for standing up for what they believe in. And so going into it, I told Malcolm, I looked him in his eyes and I said, whatever goes on, I'll be right there beside you, regardless. And he said, you already know, same goes for you. And so to be able to do that and to be able to listen to him, not only give a powerful speech, Jay, but to be able to do that on his land where he was born and raised, you know, that soil, that water that he drank growing up, that was something that meant a lot to me. And then for me personally, it was just something that resonated with me because I'm gonna be a black man in America for the rest of my life, you know, and being a basketball player is just a small glimpse. And it's a good fight that we have going on, and it's a lot of momentum that we have. And I'm really proud of not only what me and Malcolm were able to do, but everybody from white people to black people to people of Hispanic culture, to being able to stand up and fight against, you know, injustices and inequality. And we have some cool projects coming. I have something coming in the works, you know, that kind of goes along and ties it in with my parents. But it's some cool stuff that we got going on, and this fight's not going to stop. It's just something that, you know, it's taken a long time to fight for, and we're going to keep fighting for as long as it takes.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Justin, you know we're all rooting for you and the other six Hoos that are down in Orlando, wishing you guys the best and out there. And do me a favor, drop a hint to your little bro about finishing those classes.
Man, look, this is the best time to do it, man. I wish he was a little bit older because he would definitely jump all over it. But he's doing the right thing, man. He's focusing on his rookie year, focusing on finishing strong. I know him and Dre were working out with Damon in Charlottesville, so I know he's prepared, man. I can't wait to get out and watch, because I guess the guys can go and watch games. I can't wait to go watch his games and watch him flow out there. That kid, he's special. He got something to him that you can't teach.
Hey, look, I saw Devin. He went fishing with some of his OKC teammates.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm jealous. You know how much I like fishing, right?
Yeah.
He caught a nice-sized bass. You tell him that's probably the biggest fish he's ever caught in his life. And I'm coming down there, man. They're going to keep pulling him out of that lake like that. I want to catch one of those.
Hey, straight up, man, straight up. I'm going to break some news from Malcolm, but I'm going to invite you myself. Malcolm actually just told me he invited me to come out to where he stays, and we'll keep that disclosed. But he got a nice little boat, so maybe
that's all I need to hear. Once we can get out, I'm there. So that's all I need to hear.
Sounds good.
Justin, be safe down there. Best of luck and good luck. And say hello to Joe for us.
Yeah, I will do. Jay, I love the show, man. Keep going. I love it. I love the energy behind it. Mark, obviously, you've been dominating this podcast platform. So happy for you, Jay. This is dope. Also, I couldn't go without being said. I told you personally, but I got to tell you in front of everybody, I knew you were the best assistant coach in the not only the ACC, but in the NCAA. The way that you recruited me, the way that you helped me through my lowest of lows, the way that you kept me humble through my highest of highs, you absolutely deserve the award for the ACC. I hope you get a National Assistant Coach of the Year award. You already know you my guy.
Hey, I appreciate that. And by the way, I paid him to say that, everybody.
Oh, we knew that. We knew that.
You know, one thing the fans, I'm not sure they know, is your relationship during practices. We'll get into that another time.
Oh, man, for sure. That's an hour's worth of interviews.
All right, Jess.
Y'all have a good one.
Hey, good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Right.
See you.
2 weeks ago, McCormaker announced he was attending Howard University. It's the first time I know of a five-star attending an historically black college. Jamal Robinson is joining us now. He's slowly coming on. Here we go with Jamal. Jamal,
yes, sir.
Just signed on. Congratulations.
J-Rob.
What's going on, man?
Congratulations on the LaSalle job.
I appreciate that. Who's the guy in the white button-up shirt?
You don't even recognize. I slimmed down. Like,
yeah. I don't know who you are, buddy. Yeah.
Congrats, man. Congrats to you on the new gig. And
I appreciate it.
I got some questions for you, but proud of you. Keep working your way up. Keep working your way up in the ladder.
I will. I appreciate it.
Jamal, you just completed 2 years at a historically black college at Hampton. And before you just took this job at LaSalle. If there is a season this year, do you see McCormaker ending up at Hampton? He hasn't officially signed yet. Will he be on Hampton's campus?
No, I can't see that. I can't see that at all. I just can't see it. It was crazy seeing that Howard had locked him down, but no, I can't see it, and I'm not the only one. It's one of those things where, we even like right before I made the decision to take this job and stuff. Was all this a fad? What was going on now in today's climate? Were the kids, were they serious? So even when we were hearing that, this young man was going to visit that school, it was still one of those things like, okay, maybe he's doing that because he's friends with the coaching staff, somebody on the coaching staff, or there's some type of relationship. But we didn't really take it serious. And, once he did make the decision, I don't know if it was him writing it or whatever, when he's like, hopefully others will follow. We're like, okay, well, maybe, but still, it's not really serious. We can go into another young man, have a connection through his mother. His mother went to Hampton. And that was something that, we were going to look into. And it was just still, even there was definitely hesitation. Like, is this just the trend? Is it just something that's sexy right now because of the climate and what's going on and in the world? So, but I just can't see it. Like, we don't have a lot of things that these other schools, that these kids can go to, have as far as institutions, stuff like that. A lot of the kids, it means a lot. Practice facilities, the dorms aren't the same. Like, it's definitely a major difference in regards to your living in your everyday. So I can't see.
I got a question for you, because I often said, if I was coaching at an HBCU, if I was a head coach, that would be my route. I would try to go after one of those, I'd recruit the top 10 guys in the country, hoping to maybe just land one, right? Right. It only takes one guy to be different. Was that, when you were at Hampton, did you guys as a staff think that way? Or you just say, it's a waste of time. It's not going to happen. In the climate the way it is, there are going to be kids that I think sincerely look at HBCUs and want to be different, right? Just because of what's going on now. Did you not go after them because it was too much resource, too much time?
We didn't. Like, for example, me coming off some of the stuff that I was doing with Nike, I had established relationships with somebody we both love, Cade Cunningham. Yeah. And I joked once I had, got on with Hampton with him, like, just give me a visit. Right. And he was like, cool. But that was off our relationship. But as when I brought that back, it was like, no, we're not going to just spend money that way. We don't have money to just be spending on a show. But my thing was like, what you're saying, like, shoot for the stars. Though with him, maybe not, but maybe one of these other guys, yeah. But no, Coach wasn't immediately up on the fact that his mother went to our school. So he was kind of like, I don't think he really took it serious until he found all that out. And then he started to hear it more and more. Then he reacted. But no, usually it's already understood we're not going to get those type of kids. We're not going to get those top kids. So, you know, when we go to events, we go to events normally just, you know, the level of kid that we would get. Right. But my thing is, with my relationships with all the Nike guys and stuff like that, I still want to go. And you never know, you know, you never know, especially now with the portal and all this stuff going on. So you never know. But initially, to answer, no, we didn't. No, it wasn't. Because it was looked at, we're not going to get that kid.
Jamal, so even though Maker verbally committed to Howard, where does he end up in the fall?
Honestly, there's so much uncertainty. I don't know.
You think he's a G League? Do you think he rescinds and goes to Kentucky or something like that?
I don't think so. I don't think he'll do that. For me, the G League or this JBL League that they're talking about, this thing that they've been doing where I guess they've been stashing guys. And I don't know. I think it's in not Australia, but you know, over in that region or whatever. Or it might be Australia anyhow. I don't see him actually playing in the MEAC. Like, you know, we're talking about 7-footer quick hands. You know, that's an amazing find. Definitely on that level. But I don't see him.
Hey, but it's historic, man. I like for that kid to make that decision, it's historic. I give Kenny Blakeney kudos for getting it done. And I know Maker's guardian, so we got some history. And if anybody were to do it, it'd be Ed.
I know him as well.
And yeah. So I'm you know, listen, my dad and my sister are products of HBCUs. They went to Virginia Union University. I grew up watching CIAA basketball, Division II basketball. That's all I knew. You know, as a kid, it was black college basketball, black college sports. So, you know, it's historic to see that. And I hope, I hope he plays, but there's so much uncertainty with this season. And, you know, he may never play there. You just
so let's say
again, a lot of I'm sorry, Mark.
Let's say he does end up there, Jay Willie. Is this a trend? Would this be part of a start of a trend, or would this be an exception?
I don't know. Actually, can I speak on this real quick?
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't know if you've like. So there has been other movement, like, you know, for example, Jay, we're familiar with his father, Sharon Wright Jr. He's I believe he's going to Morgan State. Like,
he,
you know,
he's this in, right?
Yes, yeah. But along with him, and I didn't know, there were a couple of guys that were a part of big schools that have done the same thing. Like, they're actually stacked in regards to their league and stuff. And then you have, I just read something about a baseball player who was at, you know, a major school. I think he's transferring to Texas Southern now. So there's definitely movement.
Yeah,
and again, I wasn't aware of the history, the rich history of the HBC, like back in the day, some of the greats.
Well, and see, Maul, like you my youngin, you know, you always been my young boy. I gotta school you. but for a long time, blacks couldn't go to historically white colleges. Mm-hmm. They went to HBCUs, right. And so some of the best to do it on the gridiron, best to do it on the court, are all HBCU products. And so I don't know if it's just a trend, Mark. I think in this climate, I think they're gonna make it hard for me to do my job, but I think kids and parents are definitely gonna take a hard look and look at that route. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a few. And that could open the floodgates.
So this question is to
Jay,
you.
Jay, actually, Mark, real quick. Jay, it's crazy. And Mark. So when I was there, our boy, Jay, James Forrest, reaches out and says, you need to look at somebody. Like,
Be careful now. You can't say names. If they still got eligibility,
Okay, so we're going to say
if they recruit guys, you just got to speak in general.
I'm not recruiting him, but I won't even go there. Bet. So it was just one of those things where this young man, who is being recruited by all the powers, and you know, it was brought to my attention, like, he was upset that none of, like, we or any of the other HBCUs didn't recruit him. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I began speaking with him, and he was already, like, he's still very interested in going to an HBCU. His thing was, why a big one, why not? And well, it shocked me.
And I think that will become more the norm. I think this is interesting too, because Marlo, you guys didn't compete in the MEAC this year.
Right.
Like, you guys switched conference, you know, allegiance, and you're still HBCU, but you didn't compete against all HBCUs. You were in a different, I think there are a lot of schools looking to move and go to different conferences. So that could change as well. You know, Hampton, Howard, FAMU, those are some of the more well-known, you know, Southern and Grambling. Like, those are rich history of sports programs.
So right. My question to Maul, to you, and then Jay Willie, you can step in too if you want. Is there anything that the HBCUs can offer a high major kid that a Kentucky, a Duke, a UVA can match?
I can't answer that. I can tell you my opinion. I'll let Maul answer. I tell you my opinion, I'll say no. I say the resources are totally different, but I think what they can offer is a social climate that's different than the ACC. So from a social standpoint, yes, they can offer that. From a basketball standpoint, I don't think there's any comparison.
No, there is no comparison. You know, I can only reflect on our time at UVA and the things that, you know, the way that we, you know, what we had access to and stuff like that. And that's back then. No, it's as far as basketball and stuff like that, there's no comparison. But as far as the social climate, you can say, because, you know, that's something that, you know, everybody tends to be excited about.
I maintain you're going to get a good education, and education is what the individual makes it. If you go to Harvard, if you go to freaking J. Sargent Reynolds in Richmond, where I grew up, mm-hmm. You know, the education is what you put into it. It doesn't matter. You know, it's how important is that to you as an individual. So you can get quality education, but from
networking is different at the school you're talking about, and I couldn't quite make it out. Versus
Jay Sargent Reynolds,
Sargent Reynolds, yes. versus Harvard, right? Or the Howard. Howard's got a great network, right?
They got an alumni base. But Mark, let's call a spade a spade. If I'm recruiting that kid, right? If I'm at Howard or Morgan State, you name it, and I'm recruiting a top 10 player in the country, I'm only gonna have him for 8 months.
Right.
He's one and done anyway.
Right.
That's right.
My job is to make sure I max out his ability, try to play as tough a schedule as I can in my conference, hopefully win my league, go to the tournament where he can then be showcased. But I only got him for 8 months.
That's right.
And so, you know, you will hope that in that short period of time, he takes in the whole HBCU experience, but I mean, it's not like those kids are gonna be there for 4 years.
Yeah, no, I had a kid that was at that I was fortunate enough to coach. He's amazing, and this was 2 years ago. I came in the senior year. You know, when you get to know, I'm asking questions, stuff like that. You know, what were your options? Blah blah blah. And his thing, he could have went to Brown. But he chose Hampton. And his thing was, I wanted this type of an experience. I wanted to see this side of it. Like, and he's coming from Alabama. That was huge. That was huge for me, because it was just like, wow, you had an opportunity to do this, but nah, it he's you know, he's an amazing young dude. It's with the mindset. Everybody doesn't have that mindset. Everybody tends to want to go bigger, brighter, the quicker route. And like in, like you said, Jay. Anyway, you're only gonna, most of those kids, you're only gonna have them for those 8 months. And
I mean, if you're recruiting the makers of the world, they're not gonna be there for 4 years.
So
I mean, let me ask Jamal, how many people? What's the capacity of the stadium at Hampton? Seating capacity.
No, I can't even tell you, but I'll tell you one thing. Since they had made that move, apparently it hurt that. Like, there weren't many people that came to the games. And that was one thing I was looking forward to. Like, what I had experienced, I was shocked. When I was in school and we went to a Virginia State, Norfolk State game, and it was – I couldn't believe all of the – you know, just the energy, the atmosphere. So I was expecting that. And they, you know, I guess since they had made that move, they lost a lot of that, you know, that energy or whatever. So,
but
I can't even tell you the number.
But outside of a rivalry game, right? You're not gonna, you know, Howard Hampton, I imagine, is packed and great energy.
Yeah.
But outside of that game, you know, if I'm recruited and I see, you know, 1,500 people in the stands versus
that's exactly what you're going to see. That's the type of stuff we're seeing.
That's a big challenge for an HBCU coach to recruit over a major D1 program.
Oh, there's no question.
Right?
There's no question. No question.
Surprise guest, last minute surprise guest joining us now in Orlando, Devin Hall. Hey. Dev, what's happening?
Hey, Dev. What up?
What's good?
Are you catching those 5-pound bass?
Yeah.
Are you out on the water now?
Yeah, I'm on a dock right now. When I caught the 5-pounder, I was on a boat.
Look at you. You got the rod in your hand. I'm jealous, man. You know how much I like fishing.
You know it. I mean, I got into it when I got the UVA, so I mean, I stuck with that.
So hold on. Dev, we were just recently talking about HBCUs. And yep. Top prospects come in HBCUs. You basically grew up in right close by, a stone's throw away from Hampton University, correct?
Hampton, Norfolk State, and then Virginia State right there, right up the street.
Right. So did any of those schools recruit you?
Yeah, a little bit, but to be honest, Jamal, you're laughing.
But
I wasn't like I had no intentions of going there. I wanted to go play in the ACC. I wanted to go play high D1.
Right.
I mean, that's no knock on HBCUs at all, but I mean, that's just what my dreams were.
So, what was your thought when you heard McCormaker committing to Howard?
That's humongous just for the next generation. I think. I mean, especially in this and what's going on right now in the world, he's taking a stand on what he thinks is important and bringing back. Great basketball and great talent to historical black colleges. And I think it's going to obviously start a movement with other younger prospects.
You weren't on earlier when we were talking about, does he actually show up on Howard's campus in the fall if there's a season, because there could be so many other attractions to him and so many other options, whether he goes to the G League and gets paid to go there, and Jamal Robinson, who I assume you guys know each other.
From
living close to each other. Right? Jamal's stance is he's not going to end up on Howard's campus. He's either going to end up in the G League or somewhere in Australia playing professionally or somewhere where he can make money.
Why you don't think so, Mo?
I don't know. I just can't see it. You know, I just can't see it. I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people saying that.
Yeah. Especially,
It's hard for me not to do this, Jay, but I'm not going to do it.
No, don't do it.
I'm not going to do it, but it's just one of those things where I just can't see it happen.
Right.
And, like, this is perfect timing for all that type of stuff with all this uncertainty and stuff like that, too. I just can't see it.
Yeah.
That's just mine.
But in fairness, Maul, you said it. You're not the only one that's a little skeptical about him doing that. I hope – I hope like hell he plays there, because I think it's a big time move.
It'd be tremendous. It would. And I wasn't saying that. I wasn't saying that trying to be disrespectful.
Oh no. I know. But I think you and I think a lot of folks are a little skeptical. Plus the uncertainty of what's going on right now, with sports in general. But from a historic standpoint, I want to see him step foot on the floor. I want to see him enroll at Howard, and I want to see him play. Because I think it's a big time move. I really do, and I hope it's not a fad. Like I said, they're going to be a pain in our butts recruiting kids now, because you know, that's just another obstacle. You're going to have a few kids that want to do that.
All right, Jamal, we're going to let you go. We know you got stuff to do. Congratulations again on the LaSalle position.
Whoa.
With Ashley.
Hey,
great too.
Shave that.
You about to go hoop?
It's my strength.
No, they're not. They're going Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh, you play? You playing?
I'll probably do Thursday. I need that.
All right, bet.
Hey, Mo, good luck to you.
Jamal, great luck in Philly. I will see you soon.
All right, Mark. You guys be easy. Have a good one.
Take care. Right, thanks again. Dev, and thanks so much for the last minute appearance. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Dev, what's the loud music in the background? Is that one of the Disney hotels?
They got the loud music is everywhere. I'm going to know every song by the time I'm done with this. Hold on. Let me try and move away.
Are you good? You out of the room. You need some fresh air. Have you been able to practice that?
Yeah, we practiced 4 times already.
How's that going?
It's good. Yeah, it's been good. Like first day, we just kind of like, you know, got into it, took it easy, and we played up a little bit, up and down. Then the next day, kind of went intense. You know, it's been like, you know, like high intensity, low intensity, moderate intensity. You know what I mean? Just to make sure guys are staying healthy. And but I mean, it's good. It's been good. You get like a 3-hour window to practice.
And then the rest of the day you fish and play Xbox.
I don't play video games, so fishing, yeah. But fishing and chilling. Sometimes you can go back and shoot if you like schedule a time to go back and shoot and work out. Or you can, they got pool, they got a players lounge. It's not bad, man. Like, you know, I don't know if you've been hearing about all the rah-rah about the people like not enjoying it, but for me, it's simple. For me, it's basketball. I can fish. We all on one spot. Ain't too many distractions. So it's easy for me.
Now, do you guys have your whole roster? Is everybody able to practice? I know.
It's 16 of us. Isaiah Roby just got foot surgery, so he's recovering from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you right now? Hotel. Are you?
So my hotel is right here. So we, for the first 2 weeks, you only can stay within your own hotel. But then once that's done with, and the scrimmages start, you can like if I want to go see Ty, I can go see Ty at a different hotel.
And the hotels are completely closed off to the public, correct?
Yeah, it's open for that. Unless you work here, you gotta have like a green credential, or if you like boating, if you're doing the boating tours, yeah, only pretty much staff, essential staff stuff.
So. How do you travel between hotel to hotel?
I mean, they have transportation like car services, or they have, or like we go to practice on Disney buses.
So I got a question. I saw it looked like practice courts were in a ballroom. Is that right?
Yeah. So some of them are like that. Some are like that. Like not every team has a court here. I saw Orlando had one. Miami had one. Pacers had one. And I didn't see anybody else. But like they have other sites too with like 2 courts too. So it's not just that's not the only place to practice. Okay. We've already practiced in 3 different locations already.
So then practice facilities are different, and then you guys will play your games at the Milk House, which, you know, we usually.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So there are 6 courts in the Milk House. How many courts were they utilizing? Were they also utilize the court that's adjacent and across the way from the Milk House?
I wouldn't even be able, to tell you about how that worked. Well, when we, I think we just practiced in the milk house, and we used, it had one big court and then two half courts.
All right. How's the roster looking?
Good, good. I mean, it's, everybody's good. Everybody's healthy. Just trying to stay that way and keep it rolling.
And what place are you guys in right now?
I believe five.
So you guys are just trying to hold on and make the playoffs. You'll make the playoffs.
Right. Got eight games and then playoffs. Well, three scrimmages, eight games, and then playoffs.
Okay. And how's Chris Paul looking?
Good. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, just take care of himself. He's a vet, so he's looking good. Take care
Mark,
of himself.
I don't even know their roster. I'm glad you know their roster. These
I know Chris Paul, maybe one or two, and I know Devin Hall.
Yeah. Hey, Dev, I wanted to say this while we're on live and everybody's listening, man. Very proud of what you've accomplished, being able to get back in, get mm-hmm. have a chance to make that roster. Mm-hmm. Wishing you nothing but the best, man. You're one of the hardest workers we've ever had. You know, I think you learned that watching Malcolm, and you kind of just picked up right where he left off, and extremely proud of you. So just keep it up and make that. I'm hoping you make that roster this time next year.
Me too, man. Appreciate that. That's love.
The other thing I always say about you, Dev, is you embody UVA basketball.
Mm.
Right? When you talk about humility, you talk about kindness, you talk about respect. Every time, you know what, minus the, and success, right? Minus the card game ability. Spades, other than that, Jay Will, I'm going to give you a quick story. We were playing spades in
this
the hotel
happened.
Room. And you know, we know Devin doesn't lie. Right?
I already know, because if you're about to say he reneged and cheated.
Lie again. Jay Will,
absolutely.
Lie.
No. Jay He and Ty lost to Kobe, my younger son.
Kobe reneged, and y'all did end up winning. We said, all right, don't worry about it. But Kobe reneged.
Dev, as I said, I know you don't lie. So let's really tell what happened.
Look, ask Jay Willie by the time we played in spades and Coach Bennett backyard. Ask him, did he renege? Yes, he did. It lost me $5.
And you reneged.
Okay, no, you did. He was on my team.
Wait. Did we see how he changed the subject? And changed
I know, he wanted
from the game we were playing to the game you were playing?
Kobe reneged. It's all right. It's okay. You can take your L's like a man.
I'm a little surprised after I just talked about how you embody UVA basketball, and you are going to lie to all the people on Facebook Live.
Lying and forgetting is so different.
Dev, you are the best. We're rooting for you. Best of luck out there. Keep
appreciate
fishing. Update us with pictures of those big fish you catch.
I got you. Y'all stay safe, man.
You know what?
All right, Jay.
Dev.
Tell the fam, hello.
Make sure you're going to be no fish tails like you're talking about your card game.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, Dev, tell the fam hello, all right?
I will. Yep.
Definitely say hello to your parents.
Good luck.
All right, I will. Y'all take care.
All the best. He is one of my favorite people, not just basketball players. Favorite kids I've ever met.
He's got a great heart, Mark. I can't even express the type of worker he is. He is one of the hardest working kids that I know. It's unbelievable. And he has earned everything that he's gotten. He has worked his butt off. Yep. Great kid, comes from a great family. Proud of him.
All right, we have a few more questions for you.
All right.
In our Jay Willie's best segment.
All right.
So you're going to get a few questions. The first one is, who's the best who to leave early for the pros? Can you see the list on the screen?
I see. Ooh, the best to leave early.
Now, you know Gus Gerard was the first.
He was the first, and we just had Gus on. By the way, that was great having him on.
It was great. His podcast was unreal. His story is incredible.
All right. Now, this is hard, though, Mark, because do I have to, like, you know, the three amigos, they just got in the league. So am I, is it best in college or best in the pros?
The best who to leave early.
Dang.
So you know, it was hard for everybody to select you as the best ACC assistant coach, I'm sure.
I can't.
Right, but they were able to do that.
Wow. I mean, if you – shoot. Oh, this is hard. I'm not going to answer based on best college career. So okay. this will help me a little bit because I'm going to answer on who left early and had the most success in the league. So well,
then you're kind of minimizing the whole process, right? Because well, there's only
but I'm purposely doing that, Mark. This is on purpose because I like two people
you could put in that category.
I have to have some criteria, and you didn't.
Well, so, I'm telling you, it's the best who had the best career at UVA to leave early.
The best career at UVA that left early. Probably Kyle, Ty, or Corey. I mean, you got two national champs on there.
You got three.
Well, but Dre played 2 years, though. Like his 2 years wouldn't – like, Corey left early and probably numbers-wise got a little more done. He wasn't a national champ. OP was a heck of a player. I don't remember Gus. Everybody tells how good he was.
You know what?
Roger Mason. Hey, listen, I'm not answering this, man. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Roger Mason had big-time numbers. Sylvan was good for the 2 years he was there. Justin was good. No, I'm not answering. I'm
going to let you slide this for a little while, but we need an update. We need an answer within 48 hours. You're going to have to post it on either lockerroomaccess.com or the UVA Hoops page.
Hey, man, this is too hard, man. You got a dude that was in my wedding. I was in his wedding on here. You got the
– But wait a minute. One, you already said he was the best point guard in UVA history.
One, two, three, four freak guys I freaking coached, five guys I coached. I'm going other. Other is up there, so that's my final answer.
You know, I didn't list one of Jeff Goodman's attributes saying you're also really, really smart, right?
Yeah, I'm smart.
All right, moving on to the next best. Who had the best hair in UVA history?
Ooh.
But wait. You can include yourself because people don't, you're not listed pictured here when you had your plaits when you used to get kicked out of practice by Jeff Jones.
I think this is an easy one.
Okay.
It's between two guys. It's between London and Man Bun.
I knew you were going to include Kyle for some reason.
But Man Bun only lasted a year. So maybe I take Man Bun off. It's either London or you got to go maybe currently with Thomas. I mean, that's a head of hair. I'm going London. I'm going Cali Cool.
Yep. Have you seen him recently? He cut it off.
Did he?
Yeah. Cut it off. We had him on a podcast, and it was about a little longer than mine, than mine and yours.
Oh wow! But in college, I mean, he had that thing. I'm gonna go London.
How about my man Keith, as TW calls him, Innifer, without the J, his J was suspect jumper. Do you like the braids look?
I don't remember Keith. That was when I was overseas.
You don't have to remember to recognize his hairstyle.
No, I know. I mean, that's fairly neat. I'm going with, like, floppy. I mean, Gus Gerard's got some floppy. And look at Barry. Oh, my goodness.
Were you ever a fan of the Cisco Momedy hairstyle?
No, I told him to get rid of that. As soon as he did it the night before we left to go to Louisville, his junior year. And I said to him, you better get rid of that before coach sees you. And he was like, are you serious? I can't get rid of it. They don't have, I said, I don't care what they have. You better get rid of it. And so we go to Louisville. Momedy has a heck of a game, by the way. And I think he has like almost a double-double coming off the bench. And I said, Tony, what do you think of the hair? He said, I could care less what their hair looks like. It could be green for all I care if he plays like this every night. So he let him keep it.
All right, we got one more for you. Best dunker in UVA history.
Ooh. This is a two-man race. And it's Adam Hall or Justin Anderson. You could take everybody else off. Adam Hall could jump out of the gym. So could Just. Mustafa might have one of the best dunks ever, though. That dunk right there,
right?
That was vicious. But Moo didn't do that all the time. Adam Hall and Justin would dunk on people at will. I'm going to say it's a tie between.
When you look at that image of Adam Hall,
yeah,
the ball. White box.
No, he could fly. It's between him and Justin. So I'm gonna say it's a tie between those two.
Okay. All right. Fair answer.
Yeah.
You're 2 for 3.
You take the rest of them dudes off. I love all those guys. But they couldn't. Now people say Gus Gerard jumped out of the gym. I don't know.
All right. Coach, as always, great to be on with you. Everyone, thanks for joining us tonight. For Jason Williford, I'm Mark Jerome, giving you locker room access on the Jay Willie Show. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Mark.